Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 24th, 2025, 2 John.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday celebration. Happy birthday, Nana. Nana is my soulmate. She is well known and loved by the kids and the grandkids as Nana. Everywhere Deb goes, she is well loved. Today I was, her birthday is Saturday, by the way, and she doesn't want to have a whole year of birthdays. A whole year of a 50th anniversary, yes, but not a whole year of birthdays. And I was, you know, it's hard to buy a birthday card. I went into a Hallmark to buy a birthday card. I got a couple. I even got some socks that had a golden retriever on the sock. She told me what the price was, and all I had was a $100 bill. I gave it to her. She says, "Oh, I can't take a $100 bill." "Well, then you're not going to take anything." I says, "You might as well keep the cards and socks." So I left, and then that's the place I always go to get a card. I drove all over town, up Charleston, down Charleston, trying to find a card shop. Finally, I found another Hallmark. I walked in, I have a shirt with an American flag on the shoulders, and the lady goes, "Oh, an American flag!" And then, "And a cross! American flag and a cross!" And then she goes, and I also asked her, "Now, if I give you a $100 bill, can you give me change back?" "Yes, this is the right place." So I got some cards. I didn't get any socks, but I got the cards. And I'm going out to the Hummer. And as I'm unlocking the Hummer, there's a guy standing just a few feet away. I turn around, and it's Rodney from Vintner Grill. Rodney. And Rodney loves Debbie. Every time we go into VG's for dinner, Rodney comes over. First thing, kisses Debbie. I won't let him kiss me. Kisses Debbie. And calls her, "Mom, oh, so happy to see you, Mom." And kisses her usually on one side of the cheek and on the other side. And I said, "That's enough." And I said, "Yeah, I was getting a birthday card for Deb. It's her birthday." "It's Mom's birthday?" I said, "Yes, Saturday." "Oh, tell her happy birthday for me." Happy birthday from Rodney. And so happy birthday from all of the kids, Nana. And we also have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, July 23rd went very well with the regular group of ladies eager to learn more about heaven. We have read the purple book, the gospel booklet that we have here, several times, and the ladies are encouraged to take copies to share with others. After the lesson, Donna, who has 7 children and lots of grandkids, told me she mailed copies of the Purple Book to her grandkids. She said she may need more copies. In this lesson, Pastor Olson continued in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, to explain the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. And that purpose is performance evaluation. Performance evaluation for deeds from salvation to death or the rapture. And he described our deeds as either agathos, intrinsically good, or having executed the according to the will and plan of God, or phallos, human good dead works, which are absolutely worthless. And the pastor emphasized that the judgment seat is not about salvation, and it's not about sin. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 John. 2 John. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we finished 2 John tonight. And what are you laughing at? The crooner over here. We're going to finish 2 John tonight and start on 3 John. And then we finish that, be on 4 John, 5 John, 6 John, 7 John. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 John, we are in the epilogue, the last two verses, verses 12 and 13, and we have almost completed the exegesis of verse 12. It sounds like this. Though having many doctrines to write to you for your interest and benefit, indirect object, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink. But I anticipate coming to you and teaching you face to face for the purpose that your happiness, and we didn't quite get to the end, stop there. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause. For the purpose that your happiness. And then we have one of the most powerful constructions in the Greek. A periphrastic participle. Periphrastic participle. It actually, I'll even put it up here, show you what it looks like. Pleromene. You can tell right there. Pleromene, and then the to be verb in the subjunctive. Eta. See, there's two verbs in a periphrastic participle. So we have P-E-P-L. This is actually what it looks like in the original autographs. And then Pleromene Eta. Periphrastic participle. A periphrastic participle includes two verbs with a perfect passive participle of plerao along with the subjunctive of the to-be verb eimi. First of all, let's look at plerao. That's P-L, long E-R-O, long O, play ra-o. Now, a couple of things. First of all, point one, literally, play ra-o means to make full, to fill up, to empower. Now, we've seen this verb used this way in one of the mandates for the spiritual life, Ephesians 5:18. Which says, in your translations usually, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Mandate. The verb there is plerao. And it was used in the ancient world of wind filling the sails of a ship and empowering it through the water. That's the literal translation of it. To fill up, to make full, to empower. So really, the best way to translate Ephesians 5:18 is keep on being empowered by the Spirit, and that's the verb plerao. That's the literal meaning. Point two, then it came to mean to bring something to completion. To bring something to completion. To finish something that has already begun. To bring something to completion and to finish something already begun. Three, the Apostle John wants these believers' state of happiness, plerao'd, brought to completion. The Apostle John wants these believers' state of happiness plerao, brought to completion. And he put it in the most powerful way possible. So point four, John presents this principle in the most powerful way possible in the Word of God. And that is the periphrastic participle. John presents this in the most powerful way possible in the periphrastic participle. Five, the periphrastic participle puts great emphasis on the fact that John wants these believers to attain spiritual maturity, go all the way, and fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. Because when that happens, they're going to have personal love for God the Father. They're going to have occupation with Jesus Christ. And they're going to share the happiness of God. So the periphrastic participle puts great emphasis on the fact that John wants these believers to go all the way, attain spiritual maturity, and fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. Point six. Once they have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts, once they have occupation with Christ, the other side of the coin is that their state of happiness has been plerao'd, brought to completion. Their state of happiness has been plerao'd, brought to completion. Seven, now they have plus H. Now they share the happiness of God. Eight, now they have self-contained happiness in their soul. Self-contained happiness in their soul that goes with them 24/7. 24/7. And that means now they have Christmas every single day. Now they have Thanksgiving every single day. Now they have Valentine's Day every single day, because they love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is why John puts it in the periphrastic participle. So the corrected translation of verse 12. Though having many doctrines to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I anticipate coming to you and teaching you face to face for the purpose that your happiness may be brought to completion. All spiritual momentum, all spiritual growth is accomplished through consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And this demands that the church age believer live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and by the power of God. All of you, we live in the greatest dispensation of human history, the church age. We have been blessed with greater blessings than any believers in any other time in human history. Throughout the Old Testament, when anybody believed in Christ, they were family of God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We are royal family of God. Royal family of God. Spiritual aristocracy. There was never a royal family of God in the Old Testament. But today, in this dispensation, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, there was no baptism of the Spirit in the Old Testament. Baptism of the Spirit is only the church age. From Pentecost to the rapture, every person who places their faith in Jesus Christ are baptized. The only baptism. There's one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, Paul teaches. And that one baptism is the baptism of the Spirit. Water baptism is a training aid. It was a training aid until Paul wrote Romans. And he wrote Romans 6. What do we have in Romans 6? The baptism of the Spirit. Identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, current positional truth. That's all taught in Romans 6. Once he taught that, he didn't baptize anybody with water baptism. Because all that was a training aid. A training aid to teach the baptism of the Spirit. That's the purpose of water baptism. A training aid to teach the baptism of the Spirit. It is a beautiful training aid because you took the person in the water and you put them down under the water. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, coming up out of the water. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. So it was a beautiful, great training aid. But you don't have to have water baptism for salvation. Make sure you understand that. You do not have to have water baptism to force salvation. The only baptism you need is what happens at the moment of faith in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and instantly you're baptized. The baptism of the Spirit, identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And now you're royal family of God as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Entered into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Now you are royal family of God. The blessings we have in this dispensation are off the chart. A double portion of God's righteousness, a double portion of eternal life, the universal indwelling of the Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, divine power to live a spiritual life which never operated in the Old Testament, first time ever, Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, passed on to us in the church age. Unique spiritual life, supernatural spiritual life, can only be lived by the grace and power of God. Universal priesthood of the believer, universal ambassadorship of the believer. All of this is a part of the blessings of the royal family of God. Spiritual aristocracy. We have the most unique blessing given to us. But here's the principle. To whom much is given, much is expected. The problem today is believers, they're totally dropping the ball. To whom much is given, much is expected. And that is you fulfilling the plan of God for you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and glorify God. Live your life by the royal family honor code. You're royal family. As royal family, there's a royal family honor code. And that royal family honor code is virtue love brought to completion in your heart. But we have very, very few believers living by the royal family honor code today. And that is the problem in America. And everywhere I go, I see the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA, everywhere, all over America. But we are a royal family of God. So, point one. There are two systems of perception of Bible doctrine. Two systems of perception of Bible doctrine. System number one is face-to-face Bible teaching. System number one is face-to-face Bible teaching. System number two is non-face-to-face Bible teaching. System number two is non-face-to-face Bible teaching. And we have that today in Upland Bible Church. We have MP3 discs that go out all over America and around the world. And we have classes on email that go all over America and around the world. And these are all non-face-to-face Bible teaching. So there's two systems of perception of doctrine. System one, face-to-face Bible teaching. System number two, non-face-to-face Bible teaching. And there are more people listening to me via email and MP3 discs than in this congregation face-to-face. And that doesn't mean that non-face-to-face is better. It is just the fact that believers throughout America and around the world are not able to get sound doctrinal teaching face-to-face. That's what it means. So point two. Unfortunately, today in America, there are very few sound doctrinal teaching pastors. There's a few, but not many. Unfortunately, today in America, there are very few sound doctrinal teaching pastors. Three. Therefore, for many believers, the only way they can get sound doctrinal Bible teaching is non-face-to-face. Therefore, for many believers, the only way they can get sound doctrinal Bible teaching is non-face-to-face. Four, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher only has authority over one local church. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher only has authority over one local church. Five, the Lord gives the pastor, the under-shepherd, a flock of his sheep to feed Bible doctrine. Some of the flock will be non-face-to-face, and some will be face-to-face. So the Lord gives the pastor a flock of his sheep to feed Bible doctrine. Some of the flock will be non-face-to-face, and some will be face-to-face. I am not everybody's right pastor. I am only the pastor of the flock of sheep God has given me to feed. Six. So it is not necessary for your right pastor to be living in your geographical area. It is not necessary for your right pastor to be living in your geographical area. Seven. However, it is necessary to have sound doctrinal teaching on a consistent and faithful basis. However, it is necessary to have sound doctrinal teaching on a consistent and faithful basis. Eight, the pastor's doctrinal teaching is what is important. Not his counseling, not his personality. The pastor's doctrinal teaching is what is important. 9, the pastor is the Lord's servant, and his purpose is to feed the Lord's sheep. And that demands study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. Now we're in the summertime. Summertime, everybody has going on vacation hither and yon and all over the place. At one time, Deb and I in the summer, we'd go up and to Washington to meet with her parents and family and my parents and family. Her parents are now in heaven. My parents are now in heaven. And so we may never go up there again during the summertime. And so my vacation is right here. Her parents are in heaven. My parents are in heaven. I have brothers and a sister and up there, but we keep in touch with them. My brother Don, number two, he listens to my, he's a member of this congregation. I am his non-face-to-face pastor, and he and his wife, Sue, listen to every single class, and he calls me every single Monday and tells me how I just loved everything that's being taught in class. And I just tell him, Don, I love you, but keep on keeping on. He says, this is it. There's nothing more important than, he said, we can't. He called me on Monday, and as soon as we get done with the call, he listens to the Sunday class, double class. But he's a part of this congregation. He and his wife are a part of this congregation. But that's true of people all over America and in Africa and in the Philippines, people that are part of this congregation, non-face to face. But a lot of you have things you want to go and have a vacation in the summertime and go fishing later in the fall, go hunting. And I always like to go hunting too, but I don't know, with my knees, I wouldn't do very well out there hunting right now. Till I get two new knees, and I'm still thinking about it. There's one guy in town that does Jiffy knees. you laugh. I think I may get some Jiffy knees. And then watch out. But when people have asked, is the pastor on vacation? And I always tell Al, and you tell him, the pastor is on vacation 365 days a year. What? I am. I can't tell you how happy I am just to come here every day and study the Word of God and then stand up and teach what's been studied. That's when you are doing exactly what God put you here on this earth to do, and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you have vacation 365 days a year, and I do. And this is my vacation. Study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. So the pastor is the Lord's servant, and his purpose is to feed the Lord's sheep. And that demands study, 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 teach, teach, teach. 10. Apostles had spiritual authority over many local churches, but there are no apostles today. The last apostle was the Apostle John. After he wrote Revelation, there are no apostles since then. Today, the highest spiritual gift is pastor-teacher. So there are no apostles today. Apostles had spiritual authority over many local churches. 11. Pastor-teachers have spiritual authority over one local church and only one local church. Pastor-teachers have spiritual authority over one local church and only one local church. 12, the pastor's one congregation may include face-to-face and non-face-to-face believers. 13, your right pastor may be in your geographical area or outside that geographical area. 13, but whomever is your right pastor, you need to get under his authority and consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine, whether it's face-to-face or non-face-to-face. So verse 12, though having many doctrines to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I anticipate coming to you and teaching you face-to-face for the purpose that your happiness might be brought to completion. And now verse 13. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Wrong. There is no amen in the original autograph. So if you have a King James Version, the amen, you can just cross out amen. It's not there. We have the nominative plural of technon with the definite article plus the genitive singular of adelphē with the definite article modified by the adjective, the genitive singular of eklektos with the definite article plus the genitive singular of the personal pronoun sou plus the present middle indicative of ospazomai with the accusative singular of the personal pronoun sou. All right. Technon. T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. And technon means a child, and we have in the plural children, and these are children in relationship to their parents. Now the children here in this last verse, these are magnificent children. They are the children of Nympha's sister. The children of Nympha's sister. These children are also spiritually mature believers. And we have adelphē. So you see adelphos lots of time, and it's literally translated brother. This is the feminine. A-D-E-L-P-H long E, and that's me is sister, not brother, but sister. And this is the sister of Nympha. And Nympha's sister is described by the adjective eklektos. Looks like that in the Greek, E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S, eklektos. And eklektos means chosen, elect, election to privilege. Nympha's sister is also a spiritually mature believer. who has done a magnificent job in raising and training her children. These children ospodzomai nympha. They ospodzomai nympha. A-S-P-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Ospodzomai. Ospodzomai su, you, nympha. Now, a couple of things. Literally, one, ospodzomai means to greet. Literally, it means to greet. However, point two, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 116, tells us that ospodzomai means much more than simply to greet. It means to be fond of. It means to cherish. It means to have the greatest respect and admiration. So, ospodzomai means much more than simply to greet. It means to be fond of, to cherish, to have the greatest respect and admiration. Three, the children of Nympha's sister have the greatest respect and admiration for her. The children of Nympha's sister have the greatest respect and admiration for her. So, corrected translation, the children of your elect sister convey their great respect and admiration for you. One, Nympha had a sister living in Ephesus. Nympha had a sister living in Ephesus. Two, she and her children attended John's local church in Ephesus. She and her children attended John's local church in Ephesus. John is the pastor in Ephesus. Three, Nympha lives in Laodicea. Nympha lives in Laodicea while her sister lives in Ephesus. Five, both Nympha and her sister were spiritually mature believers. Spiritually mature believers who had fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. They both had virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. They were both winner believers. Five, both the children of Nympha and the children of her sister are now also spiritually mature believers as well. Both the children of Nympha and the children of her sister are now both spiritually mature believers as well. Six, Nympha's sister has recently died. She's now absent from the body and face to face with her Lord Jesus Christ. Seven, she is survived by her children, who attend John's church in Ephesus. She is survived by her children who attend John's church in Ephesus. Eight, Nympha's sister left behind wonderful children. Wonderful children who have great positive volition, great genuine humility, who have attained spiritual maturity and virtue love. So Nympha's sister left behind wonderful children. And they're not children, they're young adults now, who have great positive volition and humility and have attained spiritual maturity and virtue love. Nine, these children have been blessed by association with their mother. Blessed by association with their mother. Advancing to mature spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in their heart. So these children, these young adults now have been blessed by association with their mother. The children of your elect sister convey their greatest respect and admiration for you. And it's absolutely fantastic when children become adults and still have the greatest respect and admiration for their parents, for their family, aunts, uncles. That is the best of the best. You just don't see that a lot today. All right. Second John's in the can. Second John is in the can. Always a little sad. But not to worry. Third John is right here. Some of you want to know, well, what comes after 3 John? 1 Hebrews. That's where we'll be next. So we have a protocol as we start a new book. We always have a protocol we go through. So let's go through that protocol. Always in the first part of point one in the protocol is title. And in the Greek, I'll give you this. This is exactly what it looks like in my Koine Greek text. We have that's exactly how it looks. That's Ioannou Gamma. 3 John. Ioannou Gamma, 3 John. The title is from the human author, Apostle John, and the fact that this is his third epistle, third letter. Point two is author. And the author is the Apostle John, although no author is mentioned in the text. Rather interesting. John wrote the Gospel of John. You know his name is nowhere in the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John. His name is not in 1 John. He wrote 2 John. His name is not in 2 John. He wrote 3 John. His name is not in 3 John.
The only title we have of John in the Gospel of John is that he is the one whom the Lord loved. The one whom the Lord loved. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John. John was right with him, 100%. And the Lord loved John. He loved John. He loved to be with him, loved to talk to him. He selected John on many of the special things that he did. John was there. And when it came time that he was on the cross, he assigned John to take care of his mother, Mary. That's how much Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John. He gave him the responsibility of taking care of his mother, Mary. So, though no author is mentioned in the text, the author is the Apostle John. Even though no author is mentioned in the text, the ancient church fathers ascribed this letter to the Apostle John: Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Dionysius of Alexandria. The language style and vocabulary all point to the Apostle John. The title, presbyteros, in both 2 John and 3 John refers to the Apostle John. John did not name himself in the fourth gospel except by the phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He also did not name himself in 1 John. Therefore, this title, presbyteros, in 2 John and 3 John is certainly appropriate. So the author, John is the son of Zebedee, who was a Galilean fisherman, Mark 1:16-20, Matthew 4:21. His mother was probably Salome, Mark 15:40, Mark 16:1, Matthew 20:20, Matthew 27:56. He was in the fishing business with his father, Mark 1:20. His brother James was executed by Herod, Mark 3:17 and Acts 12:2. John and his brother were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, Mark 3:17. He was called to be a disciple in Matthew 4:21. He had the spiritual gift of apostleship, Acts 1:13-26, Acts 8:14-19, Galatians 2:7-9. John was selected to be with Christ at three very special events. First, the raising of Jairus' daughter, Mark 5:35-42. Second, the transfiguration, Mark 9:2 and Matthew 17:1-2. And third, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14:33 and Luke 22:40 and following. John and Peter were the disciples chosen to prepare the final Passover, Luke 22:8. And the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted him with the care of Mary at the time of the crucifixion, John 19:26-27. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. In John 13:25, John 21:7-20, John 19:25-27. John is named in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but he is never mentioned in the Gospel of John, nor in 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John. John continued as a leader of the early church, Acts 4:13-23, Acts 8:14, Galatians 2:9.
John is the author of 5 New Testament books: the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. History says he went to Ephesus probably after the death of the Apostle Paul, and he carried on a long ministry there in Ephesus. He was exiled to the island of Patmos for a brief period of time under the Roman Emperor Domitian. He is said to have returned under the reign of Nerva, and he died at an old age in Ephesus during the reign of Trajan. So all of that is point 2, the author. Point 3, the date. Well, we have no idea of knowing exactly the date. Somewhere circa AD 85 to 100, somewhere in there. Both 2nd and 3rd John were written close to the same time, and we see this from the same similarities. But we really do not know the exact date, except that it was written late in his life. And this is from the general tone and the thrust of the letter. Point 4 is dispensation. The dispensation is the church age. And 5th, the history. History. The recipients of 3rd John include 1, a man named Gaius. And Gaius, by the way, was a very common name at this time in history. Gaius, verse 1. 2, Gaius was a prominent leader in the church. But we don't even know where the church was because that's not stated. Gaius was a prominent leader in the church. 3, other believers had come into town, possibly on an itinerant ministry. Other believers had come into town, possibly on an itinerant ministry. 4, Gaius treated them all graciously with great virtue love. Gaius is a winner believer, spiritually mature believer. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And he treated all of these believers that came with graciousness and great virtue love. 5, Diotrephes was another man in the church. Diotrephes was another man in the church, but he was not gracious. He was extremely arrogant. And Diotrephes rejected the Apostle John's authority, and he rejected John's teaching of the Word of God. So in contrast to Gaius is Diotrephes, an arrogant jackass. No virtue love, no graciousness. 6, this is the time of the rule of the Roman emperors Domitian, 81 to 96 AD, Domitian, 81 to 96 AD, Nerva, 96 to 98 AD, and Trajan, 98 to 117 AD. 7, but the destination of the letter is unknown. Point 6 is the theme of the book, and the theme of the book is walking in aletheia. That's the theme of the book, walking in aletheia, absolute truth. Seven, major doctrines. Major doctrines include the spiritual walk, virtue love,
arrogance, sins of the tongue, and abuse of authority. Spiritual walk, virtue, love, arrogance, sins of the tongue, and abuse of authority. And 8 is the outline. Outline, Roman numeral 1. Opening greetings, that's verse 1. Opening greeting, verse 1. Roman numeral 2. The influence of Gaius. The influence of Gaius. Verses 2 through 8. 2 through 8. Influence of Gaius. Now, underneath that, A. His spiritual life. Verses 2 through 4. His spiritual life, verses 2 through 4. B, his gracious and generous treatment of God's ministers, verses 5 through 8. His gracious and generous treatment of God's ministers, verses 5 through 8. Then Roman numeral 3. The indictment of Diotrephes. The indictment of Diotrephes, verses 9 through 11. Under that, A, his selfish ambition. That's verse 9. His selfish ambition. And B, his evil production. And that's verses 10 and 11. And then, Roman numeral 4, the introduction of Demetrius. That's verse 12. The introduction of Demetrius, verse 12. And then Roman numeral 5. The concluding remarks and benediction, verses 13 and 14. All right, there's the protocol getting us ready for 3 John. We'll start with 3 John verse 1 next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you need help spelling those names, look in your Bible.